Time to check in with Docs Threatened Species Ambassador Nicola Tookey. She's here every Friday introducing us to a different native species, usually a native species that we don't know much about and doesn't get much attention. It's conservation. Happy Conservation Week to you, Nicola.
Happy Conservation Week, Jesse. It's been a big one.
Yeah, well, you have a pretty busy life anyway, but has it been particularly busy for you?
Yeah, I generally tell people that Conservation Week for me is essentially like being shot out of a cannon at the beginning of the week and just kind of launched all over the country. Yeah. Eventually I come down with a thud on the other side. But I'm still in the middle of it now, so I'm still happy.
Thud hasn't happened yet.
That hasn't happened yet.
Well, thank you for flying to Auckland and being part of the Auckland Council Festival. That was nice to see you in person. And for listeners, Nicola took part in this concert. We call it the Great Conservation Debate. It was a bit of a silly topic, but it really worked. The moot was insects are better than birds. And we had two on each side, and Nicola was for the affirmative and did such a good job that her team won.
Yes, we did. We were always going to win. Weren't we, though?
Well, I think the chair was slightly biased in your favour, but anyway.
The chair was slightly biased. But, you know, I pointed out that you can't really compete with insects when birds, you know, started as dinosaurs and peaked at chickens. It's not a great evolution life strategy.
Yeah, you also shared some pretty pretty interesting reproductive facts when it comes to insects. I had a lot of questions from my 8-year-old daughter on the way home, so thanks for that.
Sorry about that, but also fascinating.
Yeah, how does that click beetle make a sound again?
That would be the water boatman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it makes a sound. Scientists, I found a paper, don't ask me because I'm a nerd, I found a paper from last year, I think, where they recorded the sound that water boatmen make to attract a mate under the water. And I think it's something like 9 decibels. It's the equivalent of sitting in the front row of a symphony orchestra, and it is created by the sound of the water boatman's penis striking its abdomen repeatedly and very loudly.
Hazel thought that one was pretty funny.
Did she? Sorry, yeah. Hazel. I did. I was like a little bit thinking, whoops, sorry, Hazel. I'll have to take her out for an ice cream or something.
Yeah.
Make it up to her.
Hey, did you see anything at that festival day that that you really enjoyed? You're probably going to say the same one as me, which is Grant Ryan, the guy from Cacophony.
Yes. Grant Ryan was my standout. I think that was the best part of the day for me, right? So it was really amazing. Beautiful sunny Auckland Saturday, and I think they clicked through at least 350 people. And there were all these great seminars. And annoyingly, there were so many great seminars, you couldn't go to all of them at once. But I did see Grant Ryan from the Cacophony Project. I'm always so inspired when you bring an engineer into an ecological problem. Because, you know, things that we scratch our heads about for decades, an engineer walks into the room and goes, well, why don't you just do this?
Yeah.
Why don't you make a gadget that does this? And so some of the things I thought that his work on thermal cameras are very, very interesting, because what he showed us, and you'll remember this, is rat after rat after possum after stoat walking past, around, over and on top of traps and not going in them.
But he has cleverly designed a program which can recognise which is which just on their from their heat signature, which means that you don't have to sit through hours of footage. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, artificial intelligence. In fact, I was describing this to my boss this week, because these are all wicked problems we're trying to deal with, you know. So I'm really looking forward to catching up with Grant soon.
Yeah, that's cool. If people want to look it up, it's called the Cacophony Project. And it's called that because he sort of measures bird song as well as a way of working out the impact these things are having.
Yeah. With his cacophonometer.
Well,
I thought the most interesting thing about that with his artificial intelligence was, you know, he's now trying to design thermal cameras that move with the animal so that you can definitely catch what it is. And he had one that he was trialling, and he had a four-wheel drive style remote control vehicle with a hottie with a towel around it, duct tape to the top. And you could see the computer going, rat, false positive, possum, false positive. Like, it was just going crazy in some kind of like computer meltdown. But what a cool guy.
And next year's debate, well, we did birds versus insects, but poor old geckos missed out. and New Zealand's reptiles are very special as well. So why don't you introduce us to New Zealand's Critter of the Week for this week?
Yes, of course. So given that we're talking about our time in Auckland this week, we are going with the Auckland green gecko, also known as the elegant gecko, Nautilus elegans. I am a huge fan of green geckos, and we have talked about other species before. What's really fascinating, there's myriad things really fascinating about green geckos in New Zealand. We've probably got about 7 species. The Auckland ones live sort of the top half of the North Island, but not as far north, not from sort of Whangaroa up. And they are diurnal geckos, like all of our green geckos, so they hang out in the daytime. They are they're the really bright, beautiful ones that kind of look like a lolly, you know, when you see them. A little bit of a misnomer, though, because often the green Auckland green geckos are yellow. So I've seen young green Auckland geckos that are, in fact, bright yellow, which is just a little genetic thing.
Yeah, it's cool.
And they have a really dark blue-black mouth. And so one of the things that they do to frighten off intruders is they'll open their mouth and kind of gape with this bright blue, terrifying-looking mouth, and they may even bark at you, which is also pretty cool.
Really? What sort of noise does a gecko... Have you heard a gecko make a noise before?
Yes, yes.
Go on, then.
They kind of go, like that.
Sounds like my 5-month-old.
And that's when you know you've really annoyed them. So if a gecko's barking at you, you've probably peed it off.
Aggressive behaviour.
Aggressive behaviour.
Mouth gaping. I'm reading your notes now. Mouth gaping, biting, lunging, and that was the vocalisation that you're talking about. Yes.
That's what I'll be like when I come down with a thud after Conservation Week. sorry to my husband in advance.
Watch out for the mouth gaping.
And the bark.
Yeah.
So the other great thing about these geckos, so like most of our geckos, so we have, you know, the green geckos that live up the trees and come out during the day, and they're very beautiful and lovely. And then we have the brown sort of ones that creep around in the forest and come out at night. The green geckos are really, really into climbing, and because of that, they have a prehensile tail like a monkey. So they use that tail as a fifth limb so that they don't fall out of trees. So it's always handy to have one more thing that you can hang on with.
Yeah.
They can lose their tail, but they generally would prefer not to. So you know how geckos do that, and we've probably all done this as kids, you know, that thing where, you know, if a gecko is threatened by a predator, it can drop its tail, the tail flicks around, the cat or the predator or whatever goes after the tail, and then the gecko shoots away. It's a last-minute life strategy, though, because generally that's where geckos keep their fatty deposits, and so you don't want that to happen in winter. And so for green geckos, that's absolutely the last resort because they need them for climbing.
If you were a gecko wanting to go on a diet, though, that would be a quick way to lose some...
I wish I could do that.
What's your secret? Oh, I got rid of the fatty deposits in my tail, yeah.
What else can I tell you about them? I mean, I could talk about geckos all day just because they are such amazing creatures. And, of course, here in New Zealand, they last a lot longer. Their nearest relatives are in the Pacific, like places like New Caledonia, Australia, where they only live for a couple of years. Here in New Zealand, they live at least 25 years, probably longer. Because of this sort of cool temperate climate where everybody sort of lives a bit more in the slow lane. And other favourite part is they give birth to live young. So they have twins generally, and the mum hangs upside down and pops out a couple of babies. And Graham Hill, who was in my team in the debate the other day, he told me he saw a baby gecko being born once, and it probably was an Auckland green gecko, that caught a fly as it was being born.
Hit the ground running.
Not here to muck around.
He had some good stories, actually, Graham. He's doing something, maybe we'll talk about it at the end of this conversation with the Red Admiral butterflies.
Oh, yeah.
Also have quite pretty mouths, the insides of their mouths, the geckos.
Yes, they do. So they are, well, for these ones, they are essentially blue. So, like, you know when your kids... Someone gives them one of those really blue lollies that you really don't want them to eat, and they stick out their tongue. Just like that. Just like that.
Have you mentioned the licking of the eyeballs?
No, but we talk about it every time, but it is such a great fact. So the easiest way listeners out there, if you're confused about whether you've found a skink or a gecko.
Which, and don't feel bad if you do, because I talk to skinks and geckos with Nicola about once every couple of months and I still can't remember it. Yes, go ahead.
So the skinks are the shiny little snake-like guys that kind of skitter through the leaves in front of you, and geckos are velvety, but more importantly, skinks blink. Geckos have no outer eyelid, and so in order to keep their eyes moist, they lick their eyeballs. And I know you're trying that right now.
Eats flies, beetles and moths. And how would you rate the attractiveness of the, what are we calling it, the elegant gecko?
The elegant gecko.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, I've got a car, the model of which is green and the model of which is elegance, which I thought was kind of nice. So I'm a little bit biased.
Yeah.
geckos are really cute, aren't they? They're lovely. They're in trouble, though. So major, major trouble. All you lovely people out there trapping, and I've met hundreds of you this week, including last night in Zealandia. Keep it up, because introduced mammals, rats, things like that, they catch geckos and make lots of great habitat for them. Make lots of nice native plants they can climb around in. So I'm going to give them at least a 9.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Do you have a name for your car?
Well, I was calling it Percy because my son was really into Thomas. I'm always named my cars. I had a Morris 1100 first as a kid with roof racks, and it was Moriarty.
That's good.
And then I had a Toyota called Yoda.
Have we ever done the Red Admiral Butterfly on Critter of the Week? I think we have, eh?
We may have.
And the Yellow Admiral.
And the Yellow Admiral.
Yeah.
Fascinating, really, because their host plant is something we hate.
Mm.
They need stinging nettle in order to survive. And so consequently, in our garden now, we always, even though I'm really, really, I react so awfully to stinging nettle. So is my son. He fell off a tree into a patch of it the other day, which is a little bit funny. But we keep some in our garden always, because that's home for the yellow admirals.
Yeah, cool. And that's what Graham Hill's involved in breeding the red admiral butterflies. Yes, so don't pull nettle out if you've got some in there, and do consider putting them among your other insect-attracting plants. Nicola, I like these geckos. They're so beautiful. They hardly even seem like a New Zealand creature, I've got to say. You know, their brightness, their lizardness.
They look quite tropical, don't they? But no, they absolutely belong to us in New Zealand. And it's that whole picture of why our biodiversity is so important, right? So, last little plug. On Sunday, it is the last day in New Zealand for you to submit on the New Zealand Biodiversity Strategy for the next 20 years. If you care about critters and geckos, by all means, Google it and put in your submission, because we want to hear from you.
What do you want people to say?
I want them to say that they love the nature and they want to look after it. Okay. I want them to say that they want to be connected to it, because that's my kind of high horse at the moment.
Okay. Nice to talk to you, as always.
Thanks, Jesse.
That's Nicola Tookie, who's DOC's Threatened Species Ambassador. If you're having trouble picturing this elegant gecko even after that wonderful description, you can find a photo online, rnz.co.nz/Jesse.